We've made this podcast with help from New Zealand On Air. For more information about this show and other local shows, make sure you head to our website, artmedia.org.nz. Welcome to Wahine Atua, a space made for and by women in Taranaki. Whether you're tuning in at home, work, or with a cuppa in hand, you're in great company. Join us now for chats, laughter, real korero, and a whole lot of wahine power. It's Wahine Atua, on now here at Access Radio Taranaki. Welcome along to Wahine Atua for another week. Nice for you to join us.
We have got an amazing woman to come in and talk to us. Now, it's a lady who I've known for many years, in fact. Used to teach her when she was just a teenager. I taught her drama. She has more than 15 years' experience as a massage therapist, including Hawaiian Lomi Lomi, which is hot stone sports and touch therapy. She's a certified breathwork facilitator. She offers one-on-one coaching, group programs and workshops, wellness retreats. She's passionate about helping women reconnect with themselves through holistic well-being, and her name is Moana Hancock.
Mo, tell us about the brand Moana Hancock, where you've come, from, and your journey of growth and discovery, really, I guess you could say. I mean, one of the terms that people have alluded to with you is that you've gone from silence to being a sovereign. So explain a little bit about your background, about what you do, and how you came about it.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you, Tracy, for having me here. So for centuries, women have been taught to disconnect from their bodies. So we don't trust our bodies, we don't trust our voice, we don't trust our no, meaning no being a full sentence, and we don't trust our pleasure, and we don't trust our instincts. So I am a somatic coach, and somatic is body work, which means I work with the body rather than just the mind.
Yep.
So we use ancient modalities like movement, breathwork, sound, nervous system practices to help women reconnect with themselves. So many women have spent years overriding what their body is telling them. And my work is about helping them remember that their body isn't the problem. It's actually one of their greatest sources of wisdom. And for me, like growing up, believing that my body was something to control or to cover or disconnect from, I spent years looking outside of myself for permission instead of trusting what I felt inside. So it was all about coming back to that relationship with my own body. And for me, that's where my life had changed. And now that's the work that I share with other women.
It's quite funny you say that, Mo, because one of the things, as you know, like I've had bariatric surgery, and one of the things I'll never forget, one of the psychologists on a retreat I went to, he said to me how so often weight issues and weight gains to do with trauma, you know. And I said, oh, you know, I had a really good childhood, and yeah, I did, I had this, and what was it? And then when you start unpacking it and stripping those layers off, holy mother of God, now I go, like, yeah, I can absolutely see where food for me was that comfort and it was that escapism, and it put the barrier up for me to be able to not be accessible. That was the way I felt, like if I carried the extra weight, it made me less attractive, which meant that it would protect me from ever being hurt. Like it's quite crazy for me how when I actually really unpacked it, I found it really interesting for me. Your face is interesting.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought this up because I've been on the same journey. Like, you know, back in 2020, I had a gastric sleeve in Thailand. And same thing, just like I knew there was a deeper layer to what I was holding. I just didn't know how to connect with that. So, yeah, that gastric sleeve was an opening of like, well, this is an opportunity to get a little bit of a break and then start on a journey to, you know, reclaiming, like, what is this, what's happening to my body, why am I responding in this way? Because, yeah, many of us, you know, we go on this diet and that diet and we're going to the gym and we're trying to exercise, and it does absolutely nothing when we haven't gone to the root cause, which is
Yeah,
like the
absolutely.
trauma that we
Yeah,
hold.
that
Yeah.
is interesting.
And
Mo, can we touch on quickly? Because obviously, you came from a family where religion was a really big thing and control around that. How was that a turning point that led you to where you are now?
Like I thought leaving would have given me this freedom that I was searching for. I was like, oh, once I leave and I can start my life and I can start living things on my terms, I thought that I would be completely liberated and free to make my own decisions. But I actually felt like I was in a prison when I came out. So when you leave something like a whole high control religion, you have all this brainwashing or all these things that you've been taught from a child. So you're taught to believe that the world is evil, that the world is dangerous. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like I didn't feel safe anywhere inside my body. And that was my journey too with my body. I was like, I never felt safe. So yeah, it pretty much had to strip away my whole identity, and yeah, just start. I just went on a big, did a lot of research, read a lot of books, and did a lot of mentoring to kind of go, what is going on? Why can't I find freedom in all of this? Like I made such a big sacrifice, like leaving my whole family behind, and then yeah, but I felt really lost.
It's quite interesting, you know, like you one of the things that I like reading into about what you do with somatic work is that, you know, like about reclaiming confidence, intuition, and listening to yourself and knowing that your body holds memories and how that you do have that capacity to heal. So explain a little bit about how does somatic healing, how does that work with encouraging women to go through that? How does that work?
Yeah, so it's an ancient modality, so it's nothing that we don't already know. That's what we're starting to share with women is like, we're not here to fix you. We're not here to heal you. We're actually here to show you how to come back to the home of your body. So this is like a remembrance. It's not, yeah, we always say there's nothing that you need outside of yourself. It's just like calling you back to the system of your body. So the body has. We have these sensations, like I don't know if you've read the book, The Pussy Reclamation, but she talks about that women, it's so important for women to feel pleasure. And when I talk about pleasure, I'm talking about it's so important because we have 8,000 nerve endings in our body that craves for pleasure. So when we're working 9 to 5 and we're busting our guts and we're like running around doing everything for our families, and then when it comes to ourselves, we have nothing left. There's no pleasure to be enjoyed. There's no pleasure to come back to. So pleasure meaning like joy and happiness and sense. So somatic work is about coming back to the senses of the body. So what does it smell like? What does it taste like? What does it feel like? So when we activate those senses in our bodies, we start to remember that, oh, this is where I'm feeling niggles, or this is where I'm feeling pain, or this is where I'm feeling joy. And it's from this type of modalities, like movement is really important for us. Like a lot of us sit at a desk all day typing, doing repetitive work that is not good for our bodies. So that's why movement is so important. Like moving, especially for women, we need to move our hips, because when we can't voice what we want, then we can't voice what's connected to our hips as well, because the voice and the hips are connected. Yeah, so there's a energetic connection between our voice and our womb, and if we don't move it and we don't spiral our bodies, and then we can't come back to that intuition. So that's what somatic work is about. The body responds faster than the mind, because the mind will always go from a cognitive, like an experience that we have or a memory that we have. And it's when we listen to the body has the deeper understanding of what we're really needing. So somatic work is can be found in things like movement. Breath work is really, it's our life force. which so many people are disconnected to as well. Like we're very, when we breathe, we panic breathe, or we breathe from our shoulders up or from our chest.
Ventricular. Yeah,
But
yeah.
we're really meant to be using the whole body, so breathing right deep into the belly, the puku. And when we do that, we're opening up the portal to really feel what's at the core of our bodies. And sound is another thing. Like so much of us women, we don't feel safe enough to express ourselves through sound. So activating sound, like yummy, or just like expressing. And you can really watch this in our children. Like when you watch a child eat, normally they don't express through words, they express through sound.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, or they'll use movement. They'll rub their bellies when they're eating
Yes.
breakfast, and
Yes.
they'll rub their bellies, and they're like, So when you watch your grandbabies or our
Yeah,
kids when they're little,
absolutely. They do that. They
it's
do
a
that.
natural,
Yeah.
we call it a natural instinct, but it's something that we've lost as we've, gone through teenagehood and then adulthood. We forget to do that.
Yeah,
Yeah, because
you're so
more can be
right.
expressed through the somatics rather than words. Words are not really meaningful as much as like what we express through the body. And this is we see this in every indigenous culture around the world. Like you look at here in Aotearoa with waiata, with haka. Look at the haka. Like the sound, the expression. You don't even need, like, so many people around the globe are like, I don't even understand what they're saying, but I feel the transmission.
So cool, so cool.
Yeah, I do you
Yeah,
know what I mean?
absolutely. I don't know
Yeah.
exactly what you mean.
So that's somatics. It's like you don't need to know, you just feel it.
Yeah, I absolutely get what you're saying.
Yeah, I think, like I've been saying this for a while now. It's like I had a journey with the mirror. Like I know most of us, like, find it really difficult to stand in front of the mirror and actually eye gaze. So
Absolutely.
I found that really, really difficult. And I was like, I don't know what to actually love about myself right now. Like that was many years ago, but I was just like, I actually don't know. And I know a lot of women can relate to this when they first look in the mirror, like really look, that
Yeah.
they're like, shit, I don't know either.
Yeah.
So, and once I was like, you know what, I'm going to go on a journey to start investigating and understanding my body a lot more. And yeah, and just coming back to this type of modalities and, like opening up that space to my intuition, because that's what that does as well. Like it brings you home to what's already alive, and it starts to speak to you in ways that you're like, oh my gosh. So when I say to women, I was like, when we do mirror work, yeah, we really teach them to like engage with the mirror. And it's like, I really want you to look at yourself in a way. It will take time, but at the end, I want you to love yourself so much that you find yourself lickable. Like if you can't lick yourself, like, and I'm just like, might be just your arm or something, if you find that quite constricting, then yeah, there's some deep medicine in going on a journey to recover those parts of yourself. So yeah, it is like creating a brand new relationship with yourself when you've been completely numb and disconnected. Like, of course you're not going to see anything beautiful. So for me, it was just like, oh, I don't even understand what my intuition is. I've been blocked from that. I've never been able to trust my own instinct. And so yeah, there was just like this beautiful journey to understand the womb space and our vagina.
Yeah,
Like,
absolutely. And
well,
I've
it's the
had,
medicine there,
yeah.
because everyone says trust your intuition, trust your instinct. But I was like, I don't really understand that. And so lick me is like it's something. It's not sexual. It's like, yeah, can we go deeper? And I'm meaning like go to the senses, connect back to the earth, because the earth has so many messages for us as well. Like we're not different to Papa Tuanuku. Where she is us and we are her. We
Yeah.
follow, we're cyclical beings and we follow her rhythms. And so yeah, lick me is about like we're not surface level on this journey. We want to go deep because that's where the medicine is. It's on a deeper level.
It's funny that you say that because I've just one of the things I've discovered, and obviously I've been watching series that, for example, on Glorivale, which I find absolutely so incredibly
Oh.
interesting. I bet you do. But I watch it and I think of, these women being oppressed, that they've been so oppressed. And then the other day, just to give you an example, my daughter came round. She's got a little boy who's nearly two, another baby, as I say, 6 months old, who's like a little Klingon, who's just beautiful. But one of the things that happened was we were talking about how when she had just left school, she was going to WIT actually, and the younger sister was doing a photographic board for art for year 13. So Browner got roped into having to model for it. And it was, what the art boards that you have for high school, they're like three great big, huge, bloody big boards that you have with all these photos and art pieces on them. Anyway, back when Caitlin had left high school, she wanted me to throw it out, but there were these amazing photos of her sister that I kept it and I hid it. And of course, here we are now 10 years later, or 11 years later. I said to them, "Hey, I've got that art board." And they were like, "What?" And I said, I've got it." So I went downstairs and I grabbed it and I brought it up. And little Finn, who's not quite two, he was there. And Brianna had, he was running around playing like he does. And Brianna had a look at it and she was like, "Oh my God, I can't believe I used to think I was fat," or "I can't believe I thought, I was so friggin' frumpy." And, she's this most beautiful 18-year-old girl on there. And she was like, "I can't," she goes, "Oh my God, I've gone to the pack. I've gone to the pack." Like she sat there and I said, "No, you haven't." She goes, "I don't even recognize who I am there. I don't know who that girl is now, who I am, because I'm like, I've got stretch marks and my bum's fat. I've just had this other baby." And all the things that you go through. And the most enlightening moment, she sat there looking at these photos, going, "I don't know who she is. I don't recognize her." Her little boy at 21 months old came up, looked at the photos on the board and went, "Mummy,
Oh.
mummy." And I looked at her and I said to her, "Brianna, you're still there. You're still there. Just because the packaging's changed a little bit, that essence of you and that girl is still there.
Oh, absolutely.
No,
And
you're still there."
our young women, like Brianna, they're bombarded with so much out there in the beauty industry.
Well, you've
Yeah.
got daughters, Mo. You must have seen it
Yes.
with your
Yeah.
own girls.
Yeah, always comparing themselves, so many, they just have no strong mentors out there to really, bring them back to their bodies. And we're all different shapes and sizes. And, if we go back into ancient times, there's sculptures that are molded out of, clay and stone.
Look, in
And
Ireland, there's a
these
bowl
women are
with a little
voluptuous,
bit
they're
of.
not stick
Absolutely.
figures.
No, they're not. And one of the things that got me when I was doing this play, I looked at research about how what's acceptable and what's, socially acceptable in different cultures. And one of the things that I was absolutely blown away with, because my family's Irish, but I didn't know that in Ireland, if all these villages and churches have got all of these stone carvings of vulvas, they've got all of
Yes.
these the stuff. And it was like, what, how did
Yes.
I never not know that that existed? Or that, and you look at, even when you look at the adaptations of film from books and stuff, and how some of those ancient cultures, with whether it be Gaelic or whatever, and you look at things like Outlander, for example, it celebrates that feminine power and that intuition, and like it's been around for centuries. And like you said, we've just forgotten, haven't
Yeah,
we?
that's right. And the
Women.
tree, there's a tree of life, which has so much symbolic meaning, from that Celtic, culture as well, about spirals. Like you'll see a lot of spirals within that culture, and that's what we mean. We're not linear. Women are not designed to be
No,
linear.
we're not.
We're non-linear, so we're not straight lines. We cycle and we spiral, and that's the beauty of Somatic dance. We're not teaching you anything. It's not structured. It's just like you will know when you practice and when you be consistent with movement. It's not, this is how you move, and we're instructing you to do something. It's just like you remembering how to move
Beautiful.
through the connection with nature.
Mo, let's talk now about your Lomi Lomi massage, because I've had one of these, and I tell you what, it was the best massage I've ever had in my life. I kid you not. I need to have another one because it was phenomenal. Are you still doing your massage?
I am. I'm still doing my massage, and then I've sort of implement all of these beautiful modalities as well. Which has just made it a lot more richer. Lomi Lomi is a Hawaiian massage, and it's all centered around the heart space. So it's a loving massage, and it really is about nourishing the nervous system, bringing it back into that parasympathetic sensation, and bringing us back to relaxation, like coming back to the senses again, coming back to the breath. And Lomi Lomi it's a dance.
I can believe that because I noticed what got me was how you were using your forearms and everything was rolled and it was this circle. I know what I mean. Like that's where, and it quite, like I found it quite emotional. I had a rongo mai, I think, believe it's called a traditional Maori massage. I think it's called a rongo mai. I had one of those done, and it reminded me very much of having. They're quite similar, and both of them I got emotional. It's quite funny. I did get quite emotional with both, and it's that whole again, it's that grounding thing, isn't it? And that.
And that's the medicine, Tracy. See, that's if you can, like, with no one's pushing you or pressuring you to do that, like, it's just naturally, it's your natural instinct opening up and expressing emotion. So you obviously would have felt, like relaxed. You would have found your safety in that, and to be able to open up and release that. So that's what this medicine is.
Beautiful.
Lomi Lomi is no different to the ancient modalities. Like, it is an ancient modality, but it's a prayer to the body. It's coming back to the heart, and it's like it's the ocean. So you would have felt that my hands were in so many different places.
Absolutely.
It's
Yeah.
because my body is like moving
Fluid.
like the ocean. So I'm going under, I'm going over, spiraling. And that's another way to come back to our natural ability to, remember who we
Beautiful,
are. So
beautiful.
that's what all that is about. But still doing it and just adding different layers to it to make it even more juicier.
Wonderful.
I did want to, if it's okay, I did want to talk more about like why I decided to
Yeah, do
sponsor.
this. Yeah, do that. Let's go into that.
Because I feel like we're so similar. Like, a few years ago, I opened my house up for Christmas.
Yes.
With the open homes up for Christmas for Team Hope,
Yes, that's right.
and I was like, yeah, that'll be amazing actually, because like we never grew up with Christmas because I was brought up in a in this particular religion, so we didn't celebrate Christmas. So I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. But I went right in, and I was like, I'm going to create things that really mean something to me. So I made a earth tree, a tree dedicated to Papa Tuanuku, and then I just brought elements from, Papa, and brought that in, decorated my tree. But then I made another tree, and it was a yoni tree, or a vagina tree. So I got some clay, and I molded vaginas out of some clay, and then got them ready, and I hung them from the Christmas tree. And what came up in that, and I got a lot of challenges around that. Like, people were like, oh, I don't know if you should do that. Like, yeah, that's just ick, or that's embarrassing. And I was like, no, I know, I fully believe in this. I've done so much work around this. I'm not doing that. So I opened it up, and I was a little bit, like, oh, what's the response I get? But the conversations that came out of that were
I
so
bet.
beautiful, and just like real, like, why did you do that? And I was like, oh, this is opening now a conversation around why I've done it and what's my journey with that. So I guess I just fell in love with this. I bought a ticket straight away, and with Reagan in here, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So conversations change culture.
100%.
Because as we know, shame grows in silence, right? And so the more that we can create spaces where women can talk openly about their bodies without embarrassment, the healthier our communities become. So it's like planting
100%.
that seed of curiosity. So your play gives people permission to have conversations many of us were never allowed to have. So the tree, I want to talk about the yoni tree and what it represents. So the tree represents life. So you've already spoke about it with the Celtics. If you go into that, you'll know about the tree of life. So it represents life, roots, growth, and belonging. So every yoni tree will be completely unique, just like every woman is unique, just like her vagina is unique. We're all unique beings. So for so long, we've been taught that parts of ourselves should be hidden or we should feel embarrassed about, but this tree is a celebration of diversity rather than perfection. It reminds us that everybody has a place and everybody belongs.
I love that. I love that. Hey Mo, how do people find you to come along to your retreats or learn about your somatic work or whether it's your Limi Limi? How do people find you? What's your website?
So I do have a website, www.iamoanahancock.com, and then I'm also on a platform on Instagram and TikTok. Same thing, like Instagram is Moana underscore Hancock. Facebook, you can email me. So I do one-on-one coaching, I do group coaching, we do retreats now. We do somatic dance events, and so we've got quite a bit on. But yeah, there's so much to talk about. We could probably do a
Absolutely. We
series
could do a
too,
whole
couldn't we?
series. We should do. We should actually do that. Hey, thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for joining me today and for sharing your story of resilience and recovery and womanhood and embracement and all of those wonderful words. Because honestly, I really feel, and having known you for years, I've seen you go from that young teenage girl to being who you are now. And yeah, I'm so proud of you. So proud
Thank you
of you.
so much, darling.
So proud of you.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information on this show and others like this, head along to our website, artmedia.org.nz. That's artmedia.org.nz. Thanks for tuning into this podcast made here at Art Media, with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, other shows like this, make sure you head to our website, artmedia.org.nz.